Thanks for listening to the Inner Life Podcast. Be sure to join us every weekday at 11 a.m. Central on Relevant Radio or on the Relevant Radio app. Find your local Relevant Radio station at relevantradio.com or stream us live every day on the Relevant Radio app.
It's time to set out on the pathway to healing and light. This is the Inner Life on Relevant Radio. If you have questions or concerns about your faith journey, if you are struggling or searching for something more, if you are in need of some spiritual direction, our Catholic priests are here to help.
One heart at a time.
Welcome to the Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Hello again, I'm Josh Raymond, and welcome to the Inner Life. So if you ever had something new and shortly after you bought it, it got ruined? Maybe it was damaged by a mistake that you made. Maybe it was nothing that you did at all. It was completely accidental. It could have been something small. Like maybe you bought something, bought some food. And as you're walking away from the counter or, you know, taking it to go, you accidentally drop it before you're even able to take a bite and it's ruined. Maybe it's something bigger. Maybe it was like having your teenager call you after they got into a fender bender with your car. How did that make you feel? Well, my wife and I, early in our marriage, we ended up, it was right when I had just taken a brand new job as a production director for a radio station out in Salem, Oregon. And it came with a little nicer paycheck than I'd previously had. And we decided to buy a new furniture set. We were moving into a new duplex, and so we bought this furniture set. It had a couch, a chair, a coffee table, and an end table, all nice solid wood, a beautiful red chestnut glossy finish. And so we got it there. We didn't have any kids at the time. We have 9 children now, but at the time, no kids. We were just starting out. And my wife got a call, a couple weeks later after we got this furniture into our house, and there was a friend of hers that asked, "Hey, I've got a little infant boy, little baby, can you babysit him?" And my wife said, "Sure, bring him over, I'll watch him." Little baby's boy, the little baby boy's name also happened to be Josh. So don't get confused. There's me, Josh, and there's infant Josh. And so he comes over, and when the mom brings him and drops him off with the diapers, with the snacks, she also brings some toys. And those toys, one of them happens to be a metal truck. And I was gone for work that morning. I didn't see him, didn't see my wife's friend. And then I got home that night, and when you entered through the door off the carport going into this duplex, you walked down a hall before you got to the living room. And before I even could walk down that hall, I was maybe one or two steps in, and my wife meets me at the door, and she says, "Now, don't get upset." And I just kind of smile and say, "Okay, what's going on?" And she explains that within about 10 or 15 minutes of little infant Josh being there, and he was probably 9 or 10 months old because he's pulling himself up on tables and chair seats. He's not able to walk, but he pulls himself up on our brand new coffee table in our living room with this metal truck in hand and begins to hammer away at the table, and he leaves these two rows of dents. And when I walk in, I see the table, and the rest of it is immaculate. It's pristine, you know, just beautiful. But it has these two rows of dents in it, and you can see where that glossy finish, you know, it's got the white edge around it as the divot has been hammered into the wood, into the finish, and it goes along this one corner, and I can feel myself starting to just get annoyed and frustrated, and my blood is rising, and I look at my wife and I say, "Your friend, she's got to buy us a new table." And my wife, I'm sure she probably just rolled her eyes at me at that point. Of course, I knew we weren't going to demand that this friend buy a new table. But later that evening, as I was able to just finally take a deep breath and say, "Okay, it's just a thing," I had to let go of holding on to this table. Now, again, I mentioned we have 9 children. I still own that table, and my 9 children have done far more damage and destroyed that table far more than little Josh did. He got to draw first blood, but my children, they can ruin just about anything nice we bring into the house. But we want to look at those attachments that we have in our life and how to detach. And so, what do you hold on to in your life? And when have you struggled to let go of something? Does it still have a hold on you? Or were you able to let it go and achieve that freedom from your attachment? Well, looking at detachment today, we're going to do that with one of our regular spiritual directors, Father Daniel Schuster. Father Schuster is a priest in the Diocese of Green Bay, and he's a pastor at St. Mary's in Luxembourg and Holy Trinity in Casco, Wisconsin. Father Schuster, welcome back to The Inner Life.
Thanks, Josh, and this is my first show with you, so welcome to the show as well. I'm excited about talking about a great Lenten topic today, and my first time with Josh Raymond.
Yeah, no, I you know, it's going to be a bunch of firsts for me. It's because almost every priest, I've talked with a handful of priests here on The Inner Life, but it's always nice to be able to speak to the voices that I've heard for so many years here on The Inner Life. So, yeah. It's a great topic, like you say, looking at how we can detach from those things in our lives. And one of the things that I think is always nice to start with is maybe trying to understand the concept of detachment. And maybe we can spend a little time defining what detachment is and what it isn't.
Sure. Let's start the show with what I'm going to call the hypocrite admission, is that the people speaking to you today are not totally detached from everything. We are all hypocrites in this realm. And yet we all have this desire to be free and live in constant communion with Jesus. So let's at least start knowing that we all have the same end goal in mind. We all have the same desire to live free, detached, and in constant communion with Jesus. But none of us are that good at it. And that's what we're talking about, is living with that freedom and that constant communion with Jesus. Attachments get in the way. Now, there are some, you know, mutually exclusive things in our lives. Being attached to this world and suffering attachments as a spiritual malady are in radical, I guess, distinction to just living with that freedom of the daughters and the sons of God. So we hope to say, okay, what's going on there? St. Ignatius calls it holy indifference, meaning that all things that are on this planet to be detached from, but not to despise the world, despise people. Actually, Ignatius puts that second piece back in there. Once we're fully detached, then all things we can see whether they're useful for our salvation and our communion or whether they're not. And then the ones that are, we can still use. We can still have the help of all the great things in this planet. But they've got to be useful for that end of which we are created, to love and to glorify God, to serve God. However, it's hard to know that unless we begin by saying, I really do want to be detached. I want to live free in this world.
All right. So, and I'm so glad you brought up St. Ignatius of Loyola. You know, he actually is, I brought in the studio here with me a copy of the spiritual exercises that I have, and it's just put up on the table here, opened up right before the first week aspect of the spiritual exercises, and it has the first principle and foundation. And that was something that really I started looking at as I was starting to reflect on, well, what do we need to look at for detachment? And you mentioned, you know, the indifference idea, and both of those words, being detached or being indifferent, they can, especially in today's society where we're so concerned about, you know, people want to feel like they're cared for and respected. And so when we talk about detachment or indifference, and it has that kind of contemporary, cold or uncaring sound to it, how do we balance out, you know, you talked a little about looking toward the end of our why we're created. And as St. Ignatius talks about, our end, why we're created, is to love God, to serve God, to reverence God, and allowing that then to move us into a hope of salvation. So how do we balance out those cold sounding words while we still want to love those around us?
I'm glad you said the cold, sunny words, because it can be, and it's very cold up here in Wisconsin today again. because when we are living detached, as St. Ignatius says, we still can use things, and we can still be around things, we can still even enjoy things, but there's just a different sense of fulfillment. So it's literally not like everybody listening should start throwing everything away in their home and ignoring people and getting down to, you know, some kind of unrealistic isolation or freedom. It's simply about being honest. Detachment is a lot about honesty. Like, what are my motivations for all of this? Why do I get interest in certain people or certain things? And in like your example and your opening story, why do I freak out about some things that maybe I don't need to freak out about? And I'm not trying to humiliate you or anything.
No. I'm the one who shared the story. You can pull whatever you want from it.
But you notice when we're attached, it leads to almost sometimes neurotic behaviors, things that are a little bit weird in our lives, you know, like the way that we react to things or the way that we hang on or collect things or whatever. And you say, well, what is that all about? And Lent is a time for honesty. So as we go through the show and people are thinking about their lives, they think of like, okay, I've got to take this new sense of honesty about my attachments, because you're in a safe place to do that. It's not like, anyone's going to come out and judge you or yell at you or make you feel bad. This is another thing that was on my mind, Josh, as a spiritual director, when you're listening to somebody talk and it's obvious as a director that they've got some attachments, we have to be so gentle, because it'd be so easy to just look at them and say, you know, hey, dude, you are so attached. You gotta cut that out. But it doesn't work that way until the Holy Spirit like points it out and they become convicted at the level of conscience. So it's not just about hammering people with their attachments, and we kind of have to wait. And St. Ignatius says this too, to be very gentle at times, because God's got to show this to us. So don't be so hard on yourself either. Okay.
Yeah. You know, it also reminds me of something that I heard years ago as you're talking about, you know, we don't have to give up everything, but we want to be honest. And that when we're in love, and in this, what I'm talking about right now, if we're in love with God, a lot of times I had found myself in the past saying, well, okay, what's the bare minimum I need to do? Or how much can I get away with? And when we detach ourselves from things, that gets our mindset to a different place. Because love, being in love with God, being in love with somebody else, doesn't say, well, what's the bare minimum or what can I get away with? It says, what more can I do? And I remember hearing this priest kind of talk on this theme years and years ago, and it helped me bring around and say, instead of just saying, well, I need to follow the Ten Commandments because it's what I'm supposed to do, it changed it to where I said, God, I want to be in a loving relationship with you. I want to know you. I want to follow you. I want to serve you. And I know you want what's best for me. And so I want to turn that from, what do I need to do, or what's the least I have to do, to how much more can I do? And, you know, I'm sure for anybody out there who's married or with kids, they see that in their family relationships as well. You know, if I went home to my wife and said, well, I'm just kind of doing the bare minimum here, our marriage would not be healthy. If I didn't want to do extra things for my children probably would not grow up to be very good adults. We want to offer God more. So as I'm saying this, it feels to me like it kind of goes hand in hand, that it's not just detaching ourselves, but also at the same time saying, what more can I do for God?
Yeah, and you pointed out that it's love. The love of Christ urges us on. And we can't be filled with love and want to, I don't like the word do, but to, I guess, give more and to be more and to be in a deep relationship with God and have all these attachments. again, these are some mutually exclusive realities, to be completely filled with the Holy Spirit and the love of God, and to have a whole bunch of attachments that that are kind of sticky, you know. And then once that, you know, love moves in place, then we can do more, and we can be more available, more loving, more, I guess, serving of others, you know. And so Lent is a time to let those detachments go, to be filled with the love of God.
All right. Our spiritual director today, Father Daniel Schuster, and we're talking about detachment, how to let go of those things that get in our way, that hold us back from moving forward in our relationship with Christ. And again, Lent, a perfect time to look at this. And if you'd like to join the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. When have you struggled to let go of something? And does it still have that hold on you? Or were you able to let it go? Were you able to get that freedom from that attachment? We'd love to hear your stories. And if there's something you are struggling with, that's why Father Schuster is here. You can give us a call, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You can also email us, innerlife@relevantradio.com. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with your calls and more on detachment. This is The Inner Life here on Relevant Radio. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
If you are struggling or searching for something more, if you are in need of some spiritual direction, our Catholic priests are here to help. Call now, 1-888-914-9149. That's 1-888-914-9149. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Josh Raymond, and this is The Inner Life. We're talking with our spiritual director, Father Daniel Schuster, a priest in the Diocese of Green Bay, Wisconsin, and pastor at St. Mary's in Luxembourg and Holy Trinity in Casco, Wisconsin, and talking about detachment. What are those things that keep a hold on you? And when have you struggled to let go of something? And were you able to let go, or does it still have that hold on you somehow? Hopefully you've been able to achieve that freedom in those areas that you've been able to acknowledge and realize that you have that attachment there in your life. But if not, well, then that's why we're here. We're offering that help, a little bit of help, a little bit of hope on your faith journey here. And if you have that story you'd like to share of how you were able to overcome that attachment, you can give us a call, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. And Father Schuster, as we're looking at this idea of attachment, one of the stories that comes to mind is in the 19th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, where the rich young man comes to Jesus and says, "What do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Obey all the commandments." The young man says, I've done that. And he says, "Well, then you should sell all your possessions and give to the poor and come follow me." And the young man walks away sad, and it says it's because he had many possessions. He didn't want to give them up. And then right after that, Jesus turns to his disciples, all the followers that are there, and he says that it's easier for a camel, that very familiar, famous line, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And so is this an isolated case where he's talking specifically to this rich young man, or is that something that we should apply to our own lives? And how should we understand it? You know, as we were talking in the last segment, you were saying that, you know, we don't need to necessarily give up everything, and acknowledging we're all kind of hypocrites in this. We want to be detached, but we know there's certain things that have a hold on us. So should we understand this a little more figuratively, or is there a balance that we're supposed to understand with what Jesus says in his words here?
Yes to everything you said.
Okay.
Yes, to it all. It is both a universal call to all of us to be detached from riches, and it was also very specific to the man. To him. He, as we can imagine, he probably turned white as a ghost when Jesus brought up possessions, because it went right to the heart of, as you know, reading his personal attachment. So obviously, universally, money, possessions, wealth seem to be one of the things that plague so many Christians around the world and keeping them from greater communion with God. But also, Jesus might want to say something to each person. We do spiritual exercise with this passage and to see if Jesus wants to say something to each of us about a particular attachment, you know. And what happens here, too, is what St. Ignatius calls agere contra, working against. Jesus sends him out to work directly against his attachment. He sends him out to say, you know, riches are your thing. You're doing the bare minimum. You're keeping the law. Great. Good for you. But you have no spirit. You have no life. You have no passion. So go out and get rid of the very things that are trapping you. And that's working right against it. And this is a call to each of us at times to go right against the grain. If Jesus asks us to, sit down with that scripture, talk to Jesus about your attachments and see what he puts before you personally. And if we're being honest with ourselves, I love that phrase. If we're being honest with ourselves, it's a very Lenten thing to say. We might even know what it is already. If you struggle with alcohol, how freeing is it to dump bottles of alcohol right down the drain? Agere contra. There you go, right against it. The list can go on. Just personally, I used to, of the many attachments and things, I was always attached to being, you know, clean and kind of proper when I was a kid. They called me preppy, when I was a kid. And I realized that was kind of a block. And, you know, the Lord called me to go out and get my hands dirty into, literally get involved in activities that got me so far out of my comfort zone. Agere contra. Go get your hands dirty. Don't be attached to your image. Don't be attached to, you being proper and all the time and everything. So God may do that to each of us. So yes, it's universal. Riches are probably one of the number one things that we're attached to. And it's particular. What does God want to say to you?
Now, in this being honest with ourselves, what if we don't see what we have that attachment to? You talked about that a little at the beginning of the show, where as a spiritual director, you might see it in somebody else. I had a priest, a pastor of a parish years ago, who he would talk about when his mother said, all right, it's time, everybody's going to confession, as he was a little boy growing up, and he'd tell his mom, I don't have anything to confess. And she'd say, go talk to your sisters. They'll tell you what to confess. But how do we identify those things that might be attachments when we really don't recognize them?
Right. So let's acknowledge that I'm talking about Ignatius, but we're not all Jesuits. We're not all in a religious order. I'm not even in a religious order. So, and in the religious order context, you have these mechanisms where people are into fraternal correction. Okay, well, we need that in our own lives. So exactly what you're talking about, go talk to your sisters. I like that. Is say, are we listening to people around us who are sending us particular messages at times about our attachments? And this a spiritual exercise. I'm not talking about anything too highfalutin. I'm talking about taking the scripture that Josh is referring to and just sitting down with it for 15, 20 minutes and letting the Holy Spirit do some of the talking. And God gives you memories, understanding. He gives you things that come when we're with the Word. So it's both. We have to take the time to pray. If it feels like you're doing your own psychoanalysis when you're sitting down after hearing me talk, that's not prayer. That's psychoanalysis. If you're listening for the Holy Spirit to show you through memory, image, impression, thought, understanding, then you're leaving room for God. But at the end of the day, I like that too. Go talk to your sister. Go talk to your brother. Ask somebody for feedback. It hurts, but it could free us up.
Yeah, and that will. It'll take some humility to go and ask somebody who's close to you to be very honest and direct with you. Hopefully they'll be charitable. Hopefully they won't just let open the floodgates at that point. But we are talking about detachment with our spiritual director, Father Daniel Schuster. And if you would like to join the program, let us know when you've struggled to let go of something. Something maybe you've been able to get that freedom, or maybe you're still struggling with it. Well, you can give us a call, 888-914-9149. And Father, let's go to the phones. We've got Vincent, who's listening to us out in Davis, California. Hi, Vincent. Welcome to The Inner Life.
Hi. When you were talking about attachment to alcohol, I figured I just had to call because I struggled with alcohol for years and years. I drank excessively. I thought a day without getting drunk was a wasted day for a while, and then it stopped being fun, but I still couldn't get rid of it. And then one day I just asked God to take away my inordinate desire for alcohol, and it happened. It's been years and years since I've had that pull, towards alcohol. I mean, I can still drink. If I want to, I suppose I could get drunk, but I don't have that desire anymore. And it just, all I had to do was ask. And so, yeah, you have to struggle, but when you're struggling, don't forget, you really need to ask God. And sometimes he comes through in a big way, as he did for me.
Sure. Yeah. Can I ask a personal question? Did you ever dump alcohol down the drain?
No, I didn't. Well, I don't know that I ever did. And the thing is that my struggles were very feeble, right? I never did the AA thing. I never, I tried to give up alcohol for Lent, and I'd periodically try to give it up. But the desire just never went away. And so I have to say, I was not one of your heroes struggling hard against alcohol. My struggles were very feeble. But I couldn't do anything about it. I couldn't even bring myself to struggle. But God just decided he was going to show me that he could do it, and he did.
Yeah, I think you're still a hero to me because you let the grace of God in, and you responded to that. So, in a very affirming way, like, you know, there are people who receive such graces and still don't respond, and still. But what a great gift, and I like the way you described it too, and you have such freedom now. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, thanks, Vincent. You know, Father, it reminds me very much of my father. In his struggle, he had smoked his entire life, and I think from the time he was a teenager, you know, growing up in the 50s and early 60s, and he ended up trying on his own over and over and over to stop smoking. And it wasn't until he spent time in prayer that finally he just, it was just one day he was done. And, you know, my mom looked at that and she said, oh, that's got to be answered prayers. That's not by his own power at that point. It's allowing God, like you said, Father, allowing, being open for that grace, being open for the Holy Spirit to work in your life.
And it's not just asking once, right? It's persisting. And that's the honesty, is persisting in that honesty and that prayer of just asking. There are people who want and desire that grace that Vincent described, but they have to be patient as well, because in God's time, it's in God's time, and so don't stop asking, folks.
That's a really good point, though. You know, some people, they'll pray for that ability to have the freedom from whatever they're struggling with, and it happens immediately. There's this kind of, Saul from Tarsus, he gets knocked off the donkey. There's the blinding light. Instantly, he's converted, and he becomes Paul. And St. Paul then changes the world with his missionary journeys. For so many of us, though, it can be where we do struggle day in and day out, saying it's just another day. I got to take it a day at a time. And so how can we approach that attachment? You know, you talk about praying again and again and again. It reminds me of that story that Jesus told of the woman who kept on going and bugging I think he was a judge or an administrator for a town. And he said, I'm so tired of dealing with her. I'll just give her what she wants so she'll leave me alone. And, of course, God loves us. He's not just trying to get rid of us. He loves us. He wants what's best for us. Why, when we struggle with some of those things, would God allow that to continue on where we still find ourselves having those attachments?
Well, there's numerous reasons, although nobody knows all of them. The ways of God are mysterious, but one may be, like St. Paul, to keep us humble, the thorn in the flesh, the humility of constantly needing to rely on the Lord. So often, I think, with attachment, one of the reasons we're not free of it is because on the other side, we have this unrealistic idea that then I'm going to be perfect, or I'm going to reach a new level of spiritual perfection, or some, and God says, no, you got it wrong, kid. You know, you're just going to need to rely on me even more. And once you really have the disposition of it, this freedom is all about relying on Christ, then things can start to move. But if it's really about self-improvement, personal perfection project, God might keep us down, might leave us there a little bit until we get it right, get the right attitude. And one of the other things, Josh, is also in the asking itself. If we're only focused on the behavior, sometimes God says, you didn't get it yet. Okay, you're struggling with this attachment, but meanwhile, what's underneath it is you've got an anger problem or you have a pride problem. Can you talk to me about that too? And if God wants to go into the root of the problem, because God, he wants the ultimate healing. Okay, I could take away the attachment. I could give you this massive grace. But meanwhile, you're still going to be selfish or you're still going to be angry. He might say, all right, let's go deeper. Keep praying. Keep sitting with the word, because God wants to show us maybe even the deeper root of the problem. So sometimes it's because healing's a process. And we always say in the industry, we say sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, but always on God's time and when we cooperate.
Yeah, and I think that's such a good insight there, too. You know, that there might be those things where we're so focused on us, and it, even though it seems like we're praying for God's will and a good thing in our own lives, we're more wrapped up in us than we are in God, and allowing that detachment to bring us closer to Him. Our spiritual director today, Father Daniel Schuster, and we've got more of your phone calls coming up. Jacqueline, you're up next. CJ, we're going to try and get to you as well. And if you'd like to join the program, the number to call, 888-914-9149, talking about detachment. When have you struggled to let go of something? Have you had that freedom? Are you still struggling with it? We'd love to hear from you. 888-914-9149. More of The Inner Life here on Relevant Radio right after this.
Welcome back to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Inner Life Show, or email us innerlife@relevantradio.com. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Thanks for listening today here on The Inner Life as we're talking about detachment with our spiritual director, Father Daniel Schuster, a priest in the Diocese of Green Bay. If you just joined us, if you've missed some of the earlier portion of the program, you can always go back and listen to it. It's posted very shortly after we're done on the air here at relevantradio.com. Or if you haven't downloaded the Relevant Radio app, you should do that, because you can get access to all of our different programs through the Relevant Radio app. It's free in your mobile devices, App Store, and more than just our programs, being able to stream live what's happening on the air. We have all kinds of other resources there, a lot of prayer resources, a confession helper, prayers before Mass, after Mass, some of the basic prayers that you might want to incorporate into your Lenten journey. And so, again, we're talking detachment here today, and if you would like to join the program, the phone number 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. And Father Schuster, let's go to Jacqueline, who's listening to Relevant Radio in Annapolis, Maryland. Hi, Jacqueline. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for taking my call. I just wanted to say that the Holy Spirit, while I was speaking to you and listening in the background, I was like, this is God. I just wanted to say that I've learned with the pandemic and not being able to go to Mass and not being able to be around my other faithful saints and to do our oblations and everything, it really got to me. I began to start praying and reading out the Magnificat out loud, and someone in my building called the police on me. And when they came, I was, like, so, like, really hurt about it. And I said to myself, God, show me a better way. So I start hearing him tell me in my ear, read Psalms 25, verse 3. So it started to get very powerful because I'm very vocal and I love praying out loud. I feel the anointing and it's like it's in my belly. So I wanted to say, with everything that has been said, the Holy Spirit led me to Psalms 126. And it's in verse, it says, for I will refresh the weary soul, every soul that languish I will replenish. This scripture was given to me, that's in Jeremiah 31:25. And so as I was listening to you, I multitasked. I was listening to you speak to me, but I was also listening to the fathers. God gave me this. He said, God has the amazing ability to turn our most painful and tragic moments into opportunities for transformation and growth. If we take what God sends us in a spirit of joy and acceptance, even when we don't feel joyful, we will grow closer and closer to God's love. And that is what's living the Beatitudes and living and trusting God. So I've learned not being in Mass and not being with the fathers and not being with just those that I choose to say the memorandum with, or, you know, any of the prayers out loud. It has given me most, certainly, with God's mercy, to be still and know that He's God. So when I want to make decisions quickly, when I want to make decisions and I'm going to go that way, God will say, no, look for me. I'm going to be with you face to face like Moses, and I'm going to show you a better way. So He comes around and taking a different route with me, and I get to see Him clearly, and I'm not fearful. So I'll say this, when I lay down and when I wake, nothing shall make me afraid. So thank you for just letting me share this today. I love you so much. And I would like to know, what do you think about this when a person is praying right, it feels right, and they have this persecution that's come against them? They sent the police. And God is saying, that's okay.
Yeah.
Stay in my word. Read my word and perfectly stay in the light.
Well, thank you for sharing the word with us in a prophetic word that I think is very apropos for what we're talking about, because when you quoted Jeremiah 31:25 to I will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint, sometimes we get discouraged. We go, oh my gosh, I have so many detachments. I don't know. I mean, I I've been praying for a long time. But looking at the very word of God and the promises, how many positive, encouraging promises that, and when you hear them, like as you said it to us, to me, and it goes out to the entire world right now over the air, you're strengthening the weak. You're helping people to remember that God is the one who keeps the promises, and God is the one who will be with us. And I, you know, oftentimes if you're doing something right, there will be some of that persecution. And that is an interesting story. I appreciate you sharing it with us. We have to always discern where it's coming from. Is it coming from, is this coming from God or from the enemy? And sometimes it can be rather clear, but I really appreciate you sharing the word with us today. You've strengthened the discouraged.
Yeah, and Father, one of the takeaways I had as Jacqueline was sharing is when she said, those moments of persecution, those trials, those difficult times, if we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, if we approach it with a charitable, a joyful attitude, then God has that opportunity to turn those trials into something that can be used for His glory.
Yeah, opportunity is another great Lenten word. Everything that comes up, if we have that right disposition, we say opportunity. And that can get kind of annoying, too, because bad things happen, and there's always somebody in the room who says, opportunity, opportunity. And I it challenges us to say, am I seeing with those eyes? Am I seeing with that hope? And maybe I'm, maybe I'm attached to everything being the way that I need it to be right now, right here. But things come up, and we can see them as opportunities. So I like that. I like somebody challenging us to see the opportunity.
Well, and that also brings up one other point that I wanted to get into with you, Father. You know, we've talked about being attached to different possessions, different objects, things in our lives. But what if we have that attachment that is with somebody in our family. Maybe we just hold on to them too much, or like you talked about, wanting to be in control, wanting to have that control. You know, it's in some instances, those aren't bad things, but if they're keeping us from growing in our relationship with Christ, again, how do we find that balance to detach, not in a cold, uncaring way, as we talked about earlier this hour, but if those things, in and of themselves, they're good or at the very least neutral, how can we look and find that balance of sustaining the relationship with somebody or keeping that good, you know, if you've got a drive that lets you be successful in life where you do take charge, but not letting that attachment to being in control take over. How do we approach those sorts of things in our lives?
Well, you would have to look at the effects of what happens in a situation. And then you'd say, well, that effect is inordinate. You know, somebody made a comment to me and it really threw me for a tailspin. It really got me down and you say, well, what is that all about? Maybe I'm attached to something there. Why was I so put so much stock? That's another way we say it. Why did I put so much stock in that person's opinion or whatnot? And that honesty once again is needed. If the effect seems kind of exaggerated or out of line, then that's going to point back to an attachment, you know. And priests, by the way, people don't. They don't often think of like what that does to us, because people walk up after Mass and say 1,000 different things, you know, and some of them can throw us for a tailspin. And then or if someone says, well, you know, Father didn't he didn't acknowledge me, or Father didn't really he didn't seem to be looking at me when I spoke to him. And we get that, too. And then they don't want to come back to church. Well, that's an inordinate effect for a simple human thing that happens, right? You say, well, maybe I've got an attachment to, you know, the affirmation of this person or something like that. But that'd be my words, Josh, is to look at the effect and say, is that how I should be reacting to this?
And then if you are reacting that way, I presume then the next step would be trying to isolate that and not just completely severing a relationship because of it, or not saying the entire behavior is bad, but let's look at that, what
right.
that isolated part, the particular moment there that is causing that effect. Let's get rid of that.
Sure. And knowing is half the battle. If God shows you these attachments, it's like it can be just freeing, saying, now I know what's going on there. Okay. And yeah, I've got to work against it a little bit. We never go off the deep end, you know. Like I said, just running from everything all the time, and trying to get away from anything that could be attached to us or we could be attached to. But it's simply knowing and then talking to Jesus about it, relating, and then working it with the grace of God to go back and be free. Okay, let's go back to St. Ignatius. Bring it full circle. Is this person, you know, if it's a personal attachment to a person, you know, is it somebody that I am indifferent about? I love them. I like being with them. I enjoy company and affirmation. But is it truly, though, that I'm indifferent and that all that company, love, and affirmation is there to help me to draw closer to God? Or is it really about my need for attention or my need to be an inordinate need to have an attachment here? There's some brutal honesty, but when you're praying, it's a safe place to confront that.
Right. Yeah, I think honesty might be the word of the day. We've been talking detachment, but yeah, honesty, just being honest with ourselves about those things that have a hold in our lives. That's probably the big takeaway. Father, let's go back to the phones. We've got Victoria, who is listening to Relevant Radio in Clinton, Iowa. Hi, Victoria. Welcome to the program.
Hi. I have a lot of pictures of Jesus' Sacred Heart, a lot of crowning of the thorns, a huge crucifix, Jesus with the children, Mary, mystical rose, and Mary's Sacred Heart, and Our Lady of Fatima, and people say that I'm just too attached to have a little fountain. People say I'm just too attached to my apartment, and I never do anything. But I am crippled, but in a way I am attached to all these things, and they think I think they think that I don't let myself go and I persevere to the end and not let myself die because I am pretty crippled up, you know. I have leukemia and I can't walk very good and I stay in my wheelchair. It's so pretty here. Sometimes I have a bay window and all these beautiful, I have beautiful rosaries. And sometimes it's just heavenly here. It's just like a place, on, you know, heaven is a place on earth, you know. It's hard, and I have a new little teeny stereo that I get your Catholic station in and other Christian music, other stations in, and I listen to music. And I can't read the Bible yet because I need another end table to look up vocabulary words, but I do get the Catholic Mass that comes in on Sundays. Do you think I'm too attached to all these things?
Well, I don't want to be the judge of that, but I want to listen to what you're saying and to say that you're being fed by the images that give you hope in a difficult time. You know, we have this interesting practice in the Catholic Church in the last part of Lent where we cover all of the images in the church with purple. We cover the crucifix, we cover Mary, we cover Joseph. And isn't that interesting? Just for a little bit, just for that last part of Lent, to remind us that even the images are simply images, and that we go into this very deep, barren place in the desert of prayer to connect with Jesus. So one thing I could recommend is like maybe a week or two before Easter that you do some of that covering, and you find out, then you'll find out a little bit about yourself. And also, though, that deep desire to see those images, to see the face of Jesus is something beautiful to pray with. But I'm not recommending you take them down. I don't like to recommend much. I like to listen to the Holy Spirit. I just drawing from the tradition. Isn't it interesting that we have a practice of covering images just at the end of Lent? But given your situation and all you're dealing with, it's really important to be surrounded by beauty. So I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, Victoria, just kind of echoing what Father Schuster is saying here, it's hard for me to imagine unless, again, looking at that effect that Father talked about, is the effect of your attachment to the different religious imagery that you have in your house, some of the different pictures and statues, is that something where it's allowing you to grow closer to Christ? And if that effect is there, kind of going back to what Father said, then you're probably in the safe space. Would you say that's a pretty safe assessment, Father?
Yes, I would. And I think, you know, once in a while, actually I just looked it up from Palm Sunday until Easter Sunday is when we cover images. And that would be quite a prayer exercise for you. But it's only 1 week. The effect is so positive that you love these images, so I think it's okay.
Well, thanks for calling, Victoria, and joining us here on The Inner Life today. Our spiritual director, Father Daniel Schuster, and Father, we're down to just the last about minute and a half here, and we've been talking about so many different things. Any final thoughts on detachment as we kind of wrap things up here?
Well, I think I was looking at Psalm 146, verse 3 this morning. Put not your trust in princes, in man, in leaders, in presidents, and whoever it is, but put your trust in God. All those people are there to help us, and to the extent that they can, the extent that they will. But ultimately, our connection to Jesus, and don't give up on people either, you know, as far as watching them grow and learn. But I would just, I think Jesus can do anything. Jesus can free us. He can help us. He can love us. So hang in there, everybody.
All right. Hang in there. And we will. Father Daniel Schuster, before we wrap up here, can I ask you to give all of our listeners a blessing?
The Lord be with you. And may Almighty God bless our listeners and help them to live free, filled with love during this beautiful time of Lent, that they might celebrate with great joy the resurrection, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father Daniel Schuster, for being our spiritual director today here on The Inner Life. We're about 30 seconds away from the start of Mass, and Father Mark Malezeva is our celebrant for today, so I hope you'll stick around for that. And of course, we'll look forward to seeing you again here on The Inner Life tomorrow.